What an amazing contribution. It's really quite a celebration for Earth Day. Thank you. My name is Marion Pape. I've been a Unitarian since I lived in Halifax in the 1990s, when I found that meetings for all of the issues that I cared about were held in the downtown Unitarian Church. I then joined the Ottawa congregation for a short 2 years, and moved to Salt Spring, where a group of us founded a Unitarian fellowship. It was a dream of mine to join this Victoria congregation because of the vibrancy and commitment of the congregation and the ministers. And here I am. I have practiced meditation off and on since the 1970s, and I'm now preparing and studying for to accept the 16 Buddhist precepts at a Salt Spring Zen Circle Jukai ceremony on November 15th of this year. Both the Unitarian principles and the 16 Buddhist precepts guide me in my life, and through them, I'm reflecting on the way that I do my work, how I avoid burnout, and stay inspired. For many years, I've struggled with the recognition that it's my generation and myself who have contributed to global heating as temperatures reach the tipping point of no return. I've worked in the climate change area for 15 years and wonder how we're going to turn the situation around. Deep down, I am fearful of the challenges we face on an unprecedented scale, based on the realities of increasingly dramatic weather events and the huge climate injustice that occurs. Will we delay too long to make the changes required to make the transition more tolerable? Will we let fear dominate and sink into the despair that zaps our energy and commitment? Where can we find the courage to walk alongside the fear and make the ongoing changes required? So one of the best ways I know to find the courage to walk alongside fear is to show up and join with others. History shows that with collective effort, changes that at one time seemed impossible have time and time again come to pass. Consider, for example, when apartheid was overthrown in South Africa, or when the Berlin Wall came down. From a powerful radio podcast series from the Ecodharma Center in Spain, Guyapati talks about beyond hope and hopelessness when he says, "Powerful social movements are slow to arise. Their causes are complex, at times even mysterious. But they do arise out of continuity of action. Just as with personal change, we need to maintain a gentle and persistent heat to bring the crucible to the temperature that catalyzes deep transformation. Too hot and it burns. But if we keep taking it out of the fire, we never reach the boiling point. The melting point." One definition of a crucible is a place or an occasion of severe test or trial. What will this mean to me on a personal and a spiritual level? What is my crucible? I'm loving the way that Buddhists are exploring transformation from a deep personal level, taking the skin off the onion layer by layer, to uncover what is authentic. I'm in a state of evolution right now, and I don't really know yet who I am becoming. Will I have the personal courage to go all the way through to who I am? In the fall of 2014, a huge climate rally was held in New York City that attracted over 400,000 people. From that rally, one interesting group stood out for me, mainly because I had not yet seen a lot of engagement with climate change from the Buddhist community. But Buddhists came together in large numbers in New York, and the Buddhist International Dharma teachers developed the Earth as Witness, an international statement on climate change. They formed a One Earth Sangha, that's a community, which motivated me to share this whole thing with you today. So last September, the germ of this idea that was welling up in my mind. Dharma teachers offer teachings and discussion groups using webinars, Dharma talks, podcasts, face-to-face discussions about getting out there and doing what needs to be done. Everything that needs to be done to change our individual consciousness into love and compassion for the planet. What is possible if we have conversations that could change the world? The One Earth Sangha is launching a new 3-month online interactive program for what we call aspiring eco-sattvas, and it's beginning Earth Day, April 22nd, 2015. So it's another big, big push. What excites me about this program is that I know that there are going to be a lot of enlightened people having these conversations with me, and we can help one another to understand how our Dharma practice can inform our personal and group actions. Several members of my Salt Spring Sangha, two of whom live in Burnaby, were on Burnaby Mountain during the Kinder Morgan protests. The young couple sat there in meditation day after day through those protests. Maybe they caused people on the mountain to think about what they were doing, and they might have created a little more peace, a little more discernment out of the anger that was up there on that mountain. The biggest issue for me in addressing these large global issues of the world is actually my own internal mental drivers that I need to understand and modulate before I can be useful in resolving the external causes of climate change. My mind is full of negative emotions, thoughts, desires, aversions, fear, anger, delusions that plague me in all parts of my life. Buddhists call these persistent thoughts hungry ghosts, and they seem to have a seemingly insatiable appetite. We feed them a grain of rice, and that's all they get. These demons convince me, for example, that I am bad or that I'm useless or whatever. They get in the way of my work because they pop up at the most potent crisis times for me. That's when they get the strongest. I know that to be authentic, I need to speak truthfully, to say what's really on my mind, but also in a way that's not harmful to others. My particular form of deception is that I'll beat around the bush. I'll avoid challenging people right on directly, or I'll assume that you understand what I'm trying to tell you. I sometimes never get to the core of what I am wanting to say. When fear keeps my tongue silent, it's hardly silent. So why do I find it so hard to get the right words to speak my truth? It's not really to prevent hurt. It's not because I want not to hurt you. It's because I'm afraid people won't like me when they discover what I really think. That people will discover that I'm not a fascinating person after all. Or perhaps that I'm a fake activist. And I protect this vulnerable part of myself. And in so doing, I cut myself off from people. My hungry ghost, in the meantime, realizes how this vulnerability is key to the way I make my decisions and will keep preying on my mind, saying things like, well, you have nothing to crow about. Both your mom and dad were drunks. Or, you know that you were always unruly and rebellious and nobody liked you because you were always building yourself up to look important. Have you ever had thoughts like that? And then I start thinking about how unfair life is, and I start writing angry words, taking aggressive action towards people who I believe have different views than I do. Sometimes I'll even look for excuses to not get engaged by saying to myself, well, there are others working on this, and maybe I don't need to get involved. But mostly, I take on more than I'm comfortable with. Thinking that others are not getting out there and doing the work that needs to be done, and so I have to do it. Imagine how that feels. When I make these judgments about others, I have lost my initial intention of doing good. So what do? As I find myself getting into these emotionally charged situations, judgments fuel my anger, and I get ready for action. It's at that time that I know I have to go to my meditation cushion and follow my breath. A daily meditation practice for me is key to developing a discerning mind. I am more aware. I can catch myself more quickly before I react. I can often even name my hungry ghost. And then, when I've named it, it loses its power over time. The story I've been telling myself over and over becomes less dramatic, and I'm more peaceful within myself. Of course, it doesn't last. You know, the next day it'll start again. But I do get to notice when it's happening, and I respond more calmly and more thoughtfully. I also discover this makes me stronger and more effective. Here is an example of discernment leading to compassion and love in my life. I met someone recently, and I want to quickly say it's not anyone who is a Unitarian. She caused an instant reaction, an aversion in my body. I didn't like the way she presented herself, flaunting her knowledge, sweeping into a room to command presence. And then I became curious about my reaction. And when I started to see that all this was coming from my mind, I started to laugh, which then reduced the power of that hungry ghost. And then I confronted this aversion head on with a feeling of compassion for this person. I let my breath carry me to her, be with her, experience her energy. My whole being changed as a result of changing the way that I was looking at the situation. I saw the world as it really was, and I learned a lot about me. This compassionate part of myself is one of the things I really want to explore more deeply and is becoming a rock of my strength. This growing awareness is affecting my activism. I try to do less, but with more focus. When strategies are being considered, I think about how everyone on the team is doing. Does anyone need help? Can we come together in a more creative fashion and have more fun? Are we ready to take on a bigger project? how can we strengthen our team relationships? I think about all the bodhisattvas sitting on their cushions around the world, calming their minds, spreading their love, vowing to change the way things are to their last dying breath. And I realize there's thousands and millions of people out there wanting what I want. And each of them can be influenced by a more serene world. So I'm trying to model that behavior. Get ready for this. See my beautiful and beloved grandson, Seamus Pape, who's 6 months old tomorrow. This little guy is a vibrant and curious little boy who will grow up in a world that's rapidly changing in terms of weather and climate. Seamus is going to be growing up in a different world than we did, with a huge and a growing demand on limited water resources, a planet at least 2 degrees hotter, a continually melting polar ice cap, growing disparities between rich and poor. For Seamus and all the children and young people in the world, I vow to work towards becoming a bodhisattva, the Buddhist compassionate warrior who trains to perfect an unwavering, vigorous effort and energetic action grounded in compassion. This I vow. Thank you. I just have to say that that piece of music that was sung earlier, the lyrics were written by our own Reverend Fran Dearman, who is sitting in the front row. If you wouldn't mind just putting your hand up so people can see who you are, that's her. Contrary to what I originally put in the order of service, the meditation will be embedded in my homily near the end. First, let's talk about hungry ghosts. When you think of trying to live as your best self, working with love and compassion to make the world a better place, what gets in your way? What are your hungry ghosts? Perhaps you look at the state of our planet and crumple with a sense of overwhelming hopelessness, a sense of despair that, as Marian said, zaps our energy and commitment. Maybe you wrestle with demons like blame, condescension, a desire to lash out, even hatred. These are the hungry ghosts that can tie your insides in knots, spill over into your interpersonal interactions, and can alienate those who might otherwise work with you. When passion runs deep, it can be hard to walk that line between righteous and self-righteous. Perhaps you hear how close we are to that global temperature tipping point and are bowled over by a wave of fear, a fear that intensifies as you think of the children you love and wonder what will happen to them. Maybe the fear makes you turn away, protect yourself in the details of everyday life, the grocery shopping, the laundry, your to-do lists. In talking about courage this month, many of us have noted that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going forward despite the fear, along with the fear. As they say, feel the fear and do it anyway. Buddhist wisdom advises us to sit with our feelings, even the hard ones. Let them be what they are. I envision inviting the hungry ghosts to tea and having a little chat. If you hold those feelings in compassion, that fear or despair or self-righteousness, whatever, you might find that underneath those feelings dwells a deep love. When I sit with my fear, underneath it I find a fierce protectiveness, a protective love for our children. When I examine my despair, I find a love and deep appreciation of this beautiful, fascinating living planet.
planet that we sang about this morning, from cactus and quail to barnacle and whale. Even my self-righteous impulses are ultimately and a bit paradoxically rooted in my love for the web of life. The hungry ghosts can debilitate us if we let them, but in the love that dwells beneath, we can find strength and powerful action. Think of all the great social justice leaders who grounded their work in love, Dr. King, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, the Dalai Lama. They, no doubt, have wrestled with their own hungry ghosts. I marvel in particular at the Dalai Lama. He knows great suffering and deep injustice, and yet he is able to embody and exude love. Perhaps some of you have seen him in person. I have heard that his deep calm and compassion radiate outward, affecting at a visceral level everyone in his presence. There is a power in the love that is beneath the pain. To that end, I offer this meditation from the One Earth Sangha website. This meditation written by Buddhist nun Chan Chao Nyum, also known as Sister Jewel. As you follow the meditation, feel free to mentally edit any words or images, reshape the meditation so that it is meaningful for you. Ideally, you'll match your breath to each phrase with your in and out breaths, but if your breathing doesn't sync up exactly, that's okay. Just keep breathing, let it go, and focus on the feelings stirred within you. Breathe in, breathe out. If you feel comfortable doing so, close your eyes. Breathing in, I open to my feelings in response to the climate crisis. Breathing out, I allow these feelings to be here, whatever they are. Breathing in, opening my feelings. Breathing out, allowing my feelings. Breathing in, I tenderly hold the suffering in me in response to the climate crisis. Breathing out, I tenderly hold the collective suffering, including that of the earth. Breathing in, holding suffering in me. Breathing out, holding suffering of others. Breathing in, I am aware of the many animal and planet species now threatened with extinction. Breathing out, I am aware of the growing threat to humanity and human safety. Breathing in, species threatened with extinction. Breathing out, humans also threatened. Breathing in, I look deeply to see how I have contributed to our global crisis. Breathing out, I see the individual and collective ignorance at the root of this destruction. Breathing in, my contribution to the crisis. Breathing out, ignorance at its root. Breathing in, I allow myself to feel sorrow and regret for my own harm and the collective harm. Breathing out, I ask the great Mother Earth and the Buddha in me for forgiveness and understanding. Breathing in, embracing my regret. Breathing out, forgiveness and understanding. Breathing in, I know I am also a part of the solution and I can contribute to sustainability and social justice. Breathing out, I see the individual and collective awakening happening all over the world. Breathing in, I can contribute to the healing. Breathing out, collective awakening is happening. Breathing in, I open to what I truly, deeply long for in my own life and in the world. Breathing out, I commit to making concrete steps in my daily life to manifest this reality. Breathing in, touching deep aspiration. Breathing out, concrete daily steps to realize it. Uncovering the love beneath the fear and despair is one thing that empowers us to care for our planet. Another resource is the power of community, especially when that community is also doing the deep personal work of rooting our actions in love. To that end, and to wrap up our homily, I invite you to let the love in your heart lead you to join with community in one of the following ways. Listen to your inner voice. Which invitation appeals most to you? Attend the film after the service, The Future of Energy, A Love Story, 12 noon, Lion Hall. The film features Joanna Macy. It was from her work that I learned about harnessing the power of love that dwells beneath despair. Stop by the shelf in the hallway to find out from our Social Responsibility Coalition how to get involved in Suzuki's Blue Dot campaign. Join your fellow Unitarians on April 25th, this Saturday, for Earthwalk. Meet under the Unitarian banner on the legislative lawn at 11 a.m. Another option is to continue the good work of our ride sharing. I've been so impressed with the cultural shift that has occurred within this congregation. People are getting in the habit of offering rides and doing the planning and a little bit of sacrificing needed to make ride share happen. You could also choose to join with fellow congregants on work in the wider Victoria community. We are a part of a coalition with the BC Sustainable Energy Association that is organizing a speaker series on energy and the next federal election. The meeting on September 21st looks especially good, as it will be an all-candidates debate on energy and climate change. Talk to Marion for details. Maybe you would like to join with other Unitarian Universalists beyond Victoria. There is our own Canadian USC Canada, which focuses on sustainable food growing internationally. The Canadian Unitarians for Social Justice have several climate change actions and initiatives that are worth checking out. Our Unitarian Universalist Office at the United Nations also has a climate change initiative program. If you are open to connecting with Unitarian Universalists south of the border, the best place to start is committorespond.org, a broad coalition movement launched by Unitarian Universalists after last fall's climate change march in New York. It is a good place to share resources and join with others in action. Consider your love for this planet. How does your heart call you to respond? Friends, to be gentle with our earth, we must also be gentle with ourselves. Invite your hungry ghosts to tea. Hold them in compassion. In so doing, may you uncover the powerful love that lies deep within you. Grounded in that love, strengthened in community, may we joyfully, tenderly, and wholeheartedly care for this home we all share. Blessed be.